For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Let's open in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for the presence of God here with us today. And we give place to the Holy Ghost to hear from the Word of God. And we thank you for your mercy, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we are looking at victorious change through Christ. So we're looking at the change that happens in our life. Firstly, when we're born again, because when we're born again, we become a new creature in Christ. So that's it's a miraculous change. That is actually a miracle. It's a miracle work that God does in the heart of a person who receives Jesus as their Saviour. So firstly, there's the change that happens in us at the time we're born again. And then after that, we are changed. We are continually on a process of change as Christians. And that process is one where we get better and better in the Lord. We get better and better. He changes us. So he's working in our lives, and it's a miraculous thing that the Lord does in our life. So change, he is a God who brings about change in our life. And for us, our part is to be in obedience to the Lord about that change and be cooperative with the Lord with respect to the change, because there wouldn't have been any change unless we stepped out in faith and wanted to receive Jesus as our Saviour. And that's what got it started. That's what got the process started. So let's have a look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So this is something that we should really understand as Christians, that what has happened in our hearts is that before we were born again, we were, the Bible tells us, dead in trespasses and sins. We had, our spirit man was spiritually dead. It was not alive unto Christ. It was spiritually dead. And it was connected to the kingdom of darkness, and with the spiritual father being the devil. That's what the Lord Jesus said. But when a person is born again, as Jesus said, "Ye must be born again," this is what has happened to a person who is born again. If they are in Christ, they are a new creature. So they have been given a new spirit, a changed spirit, one that was dead, changed, to one that is alive, one that did not have the spirit, the God's life and God's spirit in it, to one that does have God's life and his own spirit in it. So we are a new creature. Old things are passed away completely, and that's a wonderful thing, that the old things are passed away. The old man is now crucified. The old man is gone. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So it's a new start in the Lord, a new beginning in the Lord, to to live as a born-again person. And that is, as I said, a miraculous change that happens. It is a miracle. It's a creative miracle that God works in the heart of a person who receives Jesus as their Saviour. He works a creative miracle, you know, just like he created the heavens and the earth and the animals and man originally. It's just as miraculous as that. It is a miracle that God does in us when we become born again people. So he gives us a new heart, a new spirit. And that's what he says here. If we go to Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. In Ezekiel 36 and verse 26, the scripture says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." So that's what the Lord has said. That's what he said that would happen to a person, and that change is a person who is born again, a new heart, a new spirit. The stony heart is taken out and the heart of flesh has been given, the one that's alive to God, alive unto God. And verse 27 goes, "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." So, see, a person who's born again gets God's spirit in them. And that is a wonderful change, to be made spiritually alive in God, to be made spiritually alive. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians 2, let's read verses 1 to verse 6. The scripture says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." So it says here, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." So you were dead. If you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you were dead, were in trespasses and sins. But it says that he has quickened you, and you hath he quickened. So quickened means made alive. That's what the word quickened means. Made alive. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." So that was the devil. We did walk according to his course in the past. The scripture says, "The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So that same spirit of rebellion and disobedience is still at work in the children of disobedience. It's still at work in them because they are spiritually dead. And they are linked into the kingdom of darkness. They are linked into that, the law of the spirit, the law of sin and death. They are linked into that. And verse 3, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So this is in the past now for the Christian. That we were doing those things. Our conversation was linked into ungodly things, and we were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, our very nature, were the children of wrath. God's wrath is upon the ungodly. It says here, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we were dead in sins, but he's quickened us together, made us alive together with Christ. Because by grace ye are saved. We had to receive it. And hath raised us up together. So raised us up together, and it says where and for what reason, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So he's given us a change and a position of blessing. And he's raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, with Jesus as our Lord. So he has changed us, and he's quickened us by the power of God. He's quickened us by the power of God and made us sit together and given us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us, and will do even more so to us as we go on. Have a look in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says here in Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So you were dead in sins. We were dead in sins and the uncircumcision of our flesh, but he has quickened us, the scripture tells us. Hath he quickened together with him? We are alive now in our spirit man. We are alive spiritually, and we have that eternal life in us, which was actually given to us at the time we were born again. That wonderful thing, which is eternal life, has been given to us already. We are now linked into it. We are now connected to it right now for the purpose of living victoriously as Christians, having fellowship with God, and receiving what God has for us, because, you know, he wants us to receive of his blessing right now. He doesn't want us to feel like we have to wait until after we die physically, but he wants us to walk in that blessing now. He wants to bless us even in this cursed world. He wants us to walk in the blessing of God right now, because he's quickened us together and given us his life in our hearts so that we can fellowship with him right now and receive his blessings right now in this life, in this world. And let it continue on into eternal, life eternal. Let it continue on. That's God's plan for us. That's his will for us. So we've been made alive. We are now changed people. Have a look in Romans 8 verse 2. Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, because that's a capital S. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So we know that that is a spiritual law, and it is called life in Christ Jesus. That's a spiritual law. And when we were born again, we made ourselves subject to that law. It's a higher law than the natural laws. It's a higher law than the law of sin and death. Because when a person becomes subject and connected with the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, they are made free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is a law of decay and damnation and corruption. It's a law of that. We are made free from that as Christians so that we can have our inner man renewed day by day. We can have our flesh renewed like the eagles. We can go from glory to glory. We can have victory in our life, and not just in our spirit man, in terms of receiving wonderful revelations of knowledge, but we can receive the physical and material blessings of God. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is at work in us, and it's made us free from the law of sin and death, which non-Christians are connected to. So we are different, and we are changed, and we are free from these things. So the law of sin and death has no authority anymore in our life. It ought not to have any place, because spiritually we have the authority. We have the authority over it. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians, this time chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verses 1 and 2, which says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man." So the word of God, the power of God, it brings these things to pass in our life. And Paul wrote this. So he wrote, "Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." And he says, "Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man." And it's significant that he wrote that, because if you think about, he was a persecutor of the church, and he was one who targeted and captured Christians. And you could say, well, that was wronging the body of Christ. But boldly he says that he's wronged no man. He's corrupted no man. He's defrauded no man. How can he say that? Except the fact that he became a new man when he was born again. He became changed, and his new man was sinless in the sight of God. He was a changed person who had a mission for God. So he was a new creature in Christ, and he wronged no man, but rather helped. And the word of God, it cleanses us from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So he said it, that we're cleansed. We are cleansed. And that's what the word of God does. It cleanses us from all filthiness. The word does. Cleanses us. And helps us in in our change as Christians to change more and more into what God wants us to be as Christians. So God is working in us a process of change even now as Christians. He continues to work in us. He doesn't want us or intend for us to stay in that same place as when we were first born again, you know, like a spiritual babe in Christ. That's not his will. His will is for every Christian to develop and mature and learn things, to grow in faith, to develop our faith and our knowledge. So see that process of change that goes on in a Christian where we grow up. The Bible says actually those words, grow up into him in all things. So that's a process of change, and that is a process of spiritual growth that is God's will, to grow in faith, to grow in maturity, to grow in obedience and wisdom. He wants us to grow up in these things. So have a look in 2 Corinthians 3 and verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 3 verses 17 and 18 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." So he's working in us. He's changing us. That's what the scripture tells us. And he's given us liberty, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we, with an open face, we behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, like as in a mirror we behold the glory of the Lord. And what we see in the mirror is what we're looking towards to become. That's what we're looking at, and so this is our goal. We are changed from glory to glory into the same image, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we change more and more. God does not want that person who was born again to stay at that level. He wants that person to be cooperative with him and let him do his work of change, to change that person into that image of Christ that we see in the Word, and that is confirmed to our hearts. He wants us to be changed to that. It's the Spirit of God that does it in our life. He changes us from glory to glory. Glory to glory. He changes us from glory to glory. Have a look in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. This is a wonderful verse of scripture. Philippians 2:13, which says, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So he's working in us, both to will, to do his will, so that our will is like his will in all things. To do his will and to do of his good pleasure. His good pleasure, to do good works for us and for others. So it is God that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we can say that. Let's say that. It is God.
It is God
which worketh in me,
which worketh in me,
both to will and to do,
and to do
of his good pleasure.
Of his good pleasure.
Praise the Lord. God is working in the Christian. God is working in us. He is working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's a wonderful change. It's a wonderful process of change in us. It's good to know that, you know, even if we've made thousands of mistakes in our life, it's in the past, even as Christians. It's in the past. God's not looking at that. He's certainly not going to keep reminding us of it and bringing it up to us. You know, if we've made a mistake and we've dealt with it in the Lord, repented of it, and we're moving forward in God, he's saying to us, he's working a good change in us. He keeps us moving forward. We have to keep moving forward in agreement with him. So he's working in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Have a look at Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29, which says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So the Lord Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren, and we are the brethren. The body of Christ is the brethren. We are the brethren. And what's he doing in us? Conforming us to the image of his Son. When we were born again, that change process commenced, and more we are changed from glory to glory, so that more and more we are becoming like Jesus. He's the one that we're in the process and desiring to be like, more and more like Jesus. So God is working in us. Have a look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And this is what the word says in Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we're no longer of the world. We are made free from the law of sin and death. So be not conformed to this world by going back, by backsliding into conformity with the world. God keeps us moving forward. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that process happens by the word of God. It is the word which washes and cleanses us and speaks to us. So we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we prove it, we outwork it, we let it work in our lives, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that's God's instruction. It's his commandment to us. Be not conformed to the world, but keep going in that process of being changed from glory to glory. Let the word of God transform us by the renewing of our mind. The renewing of our mind. The mind, it's an interesting, like a storehouse. It's where we can think on things. It's where the word of God, we can think on the word, so that it's ready to come out of our mouths, ready to speak on things. But it's something, as the scripture tells us, it's something that has to be renewed. It has to be transformed. This is the mind. It's a place where that is the most attacked by the devil, is the mind, because it's where the thinking takes place. And that's where the real battleground is. It's in the mind. So we are to let the word work in us. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's finish with Philippians 1:6. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, which says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's an assurance from the Lord. Remember that we always have to be in agreement and not be conformed to the world, not make that choice to backslide. If we want the working of God in our life, we always have to be in agreement to it. We always have to put ourselves in agreement to it, remember that. And being confident of this very thing. And when you do that, you have that confidence. You have that confidence that God, who has begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer and wait upon the Holy Ghost. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord. And we thank you for your kindness, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for the change in us. We thank you for beginning the change with us being born again. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for conforming us to the image of Jesus and changing us from glory to glory to be like him. Please continue to do your work in us. In Jesus' name.